Welcome back, everyone, and thanks for joining us for another Groundskeeper Chat. My name is Meg Kruger, and I'm excited to present our second Women in Turf panel discussion. This one, like the first, is filled with a star-studded cast of women in turf, but what was different is we actually had the opportunity to get together and meet in person down in Savannah during the SFMA conference. And our conversation really highlights some of the challenges that were presented during that week that are facing the industry and a lot of the solutions that everyone was excited to see kind of come into fruition. So you'll get to hear our cast introduce themselves at the start of the panel discussion, and then we get right into some of those topics, which include the labor shortage challenges, visibility as a groundskeeper, work-life balance, and really allowing your work to speak for itself. So this is an exciting conversation. Lots of solutions and ideas come from it. And be sure to follow each of these women along on their journey because they each have something exciting coming down the line. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this week's Groundskeeper Chat. Welcome, welcome, welcome back to SFMA 2022. This is going to be our second Women in Turf panel discussion. We did one back in June, and that cast was just as impressive as this one. So we're excited to have all of you guys join us. To start, we'll just go and have each of you introduce yourself and just shoot us with a title that works for you.
My name is Amanda Folk. I'm the Assistant Athletics Field Manager and Graduate Student at Purdue University.
I'm Jill Seymour. I'm Golf Course Superintendent in New Jersey.
Nina Olenkamp, and I am a construction renovation in Omaha, Nebraska.
Leah Withrow, head groundskeeper for the Reno Aces.
Morgan Hunter, the head groundskeeper for the Columbia Fireflies.
Perfect. Thank you, guys. And now we'll go and each tell a fun fact about ourselves. I'm just kidding. That's like when at the women's forum, I was like, oh, please don't. I don't want to get up. And I didn't. I think I stayed standing and we all got called out. Or I stayed sitting and we all got called out for it later. But one of the things I want to talk about that, you know, has just been a cool topic that's been floating around here this week is, the labor shortage challenge and, you know, trying to come up with new inventive ways to recruit people, get them interested in the career as a whole. You know, what are some of the things that you guys have seen come out of 2022 SFMA that has you kind of hopeful for, you know, the future going forward?
Well, I think the labor shortage is a big problem. And with everything that we talked about in SFMA, I think it's a big concern in turfgrass is we need to have more diversity, especially for people like me. Like, I'm the only one in the Big Ten in my position to be working on the fields full time. And we need to bring more women and even people with different backgrounds that grew up in the city inside the country. And the fortunate thing about working at Purdue is we have a lot of students from different backgrounds and different majors that work for us, and many of them eventually decide to go into turf grass, so we have that advantage towards us there at Purdue.
Definitely. And I think, you know, visibility as a whole is going to be a huge component of it in making sure that, you know, we're putting our face on everything that we do, which can be, you know, daunting at some time. But, you know, two of our panelists here were involved in the Trailblazers and Turfgrass event that happened this past summer. And talk about visibility. You know, it's gotten a ton of coverage. But also just for us all here, it's something that we all followed and we're excited about. So if you guys want to just tell us a little bit about that and maybe, you know, what you hope to see in the future come from events like that.
It was definitely an amazing experience all around, but we hope to just keep the momentum going and, you know, get more women, girls, you know, mm-hmm. girls coming up in school, just get everybody interested and get them into the industry.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. And talk about just, like, what that experience was like being there with, all-women crew for an all-women event and kind of and what the motion was involved in something like that. I think she's going to do that the whole time to you.
Yeah. It was definitely, it was feelings and emotions like none other. I mean, it was an mm-hmm. experience where you're out there digging in, you're getting right next to women doing what you love to do. Mm-hmm. We were right alongside. Sometimes we were commandeering, you know, the gators and going to do the work that we needed we knew needed to be done without even being told it needed to be done.
Mm-hmm.
They just, I think towards the end of the week, they just kind of said, go hand water. And we would just go find it. We knew where all the taps were already, and we would just take care of it. Where they didn't, they realized that we didn't need as much direction as I think they thought in the beginning.
You gotta love that. Anytime that you can say, sit back and be like, yeah, we told you so.
Yeah.
Or just let your work speak for itself, which I think, you know, being a group that's a minority in the industry, that's what we really want to do, is let the work speak for itself.
Right.
And get visibility on that scale. Like, hey, we don't need like a golden badge for being a woman, but really just look at our work, and in comparison to everyone, it being something that is, you know, something to look at and
right.
be excited about.
Definitely.
So Leah and Morgan, you guys both represent the baseball end of things. And Leah, I think we were talking earlier, like how your least favorite question. So here it is. No, I'm just kidding. Your least favorite question is like when somebody will be like, you know, what's it like being a woman in sports? But something that you mentioned is that you're actually one of the youngest head groundskeepers in the minor leagues. Talk a little bit about what that experience has been like to be able to have that accomplishment.
It was a job I wanted. I wanted to be a head groundskeeper. I just didn't expect it to happen as soon as it did.
Mm-hmm.
So when it happened, I was excited, but I was also like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know if I should be here doing this. It was a little imposter syndrome-y. And then I start looking around at all my colleagues at the AAA level, and I'm like, I'm not only am I female, but I am 26 doing what I'm watching many 36, 46-year-olds doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I obviously know most of the AAA guys. I'm like, I'm the youngest in this group, and I am doing exactly what you're doing at a much earlier age, which was like a weird curtain or like feeling of, I'm a little bit better than you, but not really. But, like, I'm already here. Like, I have so many more possibilities ahead of me that it wasn't even a thought in my head until you look. Like, you take a step back and you look at it. So it was cool.
And that is such a great point, the way that you phrased it. Like, possibilities, opportunities, instead of seeing it ever like a disadvantage, but really an opportunity. And, Morgan, I'm gonna ask you a question. But... you know, as did that kind of similar experience where it was like you didn't expect to be a head groundskeeper this early, and it's kind of fallen into your place, and, you know, are you excited? What do we have looked forward to in 2022?
I mean, I'm definitely excited, but I was very overwhelmed at first.
Mm-hmm.
I was not expecting it by any means. It's one day I'm the, like, assistant, don't make all the calls. Next day I'm making the calls, so
mm-hmm.
that was quite an adjustment, but...
Well, that's where I would want to be, that's for sure. Well, another question and another topic that, you know, not only important here, but just in the industry everywhere, is that work-life balance and how we can make especially positions in golf and baseball more sustainable, so that, you know, it's not something that you have to exit when you want to have a family, or something that you want have to exit because your body just can't handle it anymore. Do you guys have anything that you saw come out of this week, or any solutions or practices that you guys are seeing happen in the industry that you think could kind of combat that issue?
I have a 12-year-old at home, and so I think one thing that's great that I have is I have a really supportive boss.
Mm-hmm.
So when he knows that there's school activities or a sick child, they just got to figure it out and work around that.
Definitely, and I think we were talking a little bit about learning how to, like, just say no, and especially as, like, someone coming into the industry right out of college, right out of high school, that can be so challenging when everyone's always told you just got to say yes, take every opportunity. So it's like, how did you guys transition from maybe always, you know, being eager for the opportunity to being able to empower yourself to say, well, here's the boundary, or here's what I need to stay healthy to be able to make sure I can be here when I'm really needed? Anyone have anything to add on that one?
I mean, I worked, there was a time that I worked at a high-end private club. We were working 16-hour days, no end time. We left when we were done. And, of course, you're never done. You know, there's always stuff to do. And I think you just have to take a look at it and see, and maybe you can do that for a number of years, and that's what I did. I did it for a few years, got a ton of education and experience out of it. But, you know, then you look and you're like, I want to do other stuff. And
yeah.
You just take a look at it, and that's when you start looking around to make a move.
Well, I know for me, I'm a special case because I'm also in grad school and working full time, and I'm really glad to work with Brian Bornino at Purdue University and Dr. Aaron Patton, who's my advisor, who they both understand that I'm working full time and balancing school and research at the same time. And you got to have to put your boundaries, especially because you try and make up that time, but also you need to have time for yourself. And that's a thing I've learned when I first started. I was like, yes, 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 I'm going to do all this. And then I'm like, I got to cut back a little bit more and that. And you got to set those boundaries because at the end of it all, you need to know about the stuff that you do and not everything that you do every day besides your job.
And you definitely want to have a longevity within the sports turf industry, the golf side, it all. And that really comes with looking after yourself and making sure that you can take it the long haul. But Leo, you know, we talked earlier about how, you know, the staffing just wasn't there, and you were the point person to answer all those questions, to be there managing the construction crew. So how did you really, was that something that you were just like, okay, head down, I'm going to get through this, and then I'll take some time for myself? Is that ever a solution that you think people, you know, should consider? Just put your head down, get through 6 weeks, and then take time? Or does that just become a cycle if you're just doing something like that?
Yeah, at the beginning of 2021, I had the first 5 months of my season post-renovation. During renovation, I was solo dolo. I was just me. And I knew I just had to get through the renovation. Mm-hmm. The grow-in process is just let it do its thing so I could finally sit back. I did take a vacation. I celebrated getting through that renovation, mm-hmm. took a vacation and enjoyed myself. But I also remembered throughout the season, I made an off day a cultural practice. Mm-hmm. Like in my schedule, on my calendar, it says like spray, aerate, off day. Mm-hmm. Because as much as you need the off day, the grass also needs the off day where you don't touch it. It doesn't need anything on it. It doesn't need to be mowed. It doesn't need any equipment. It doesn't need you walking on it. Mm-hmm. So as much as the grass needs the off day, you need the off day to go to the beach. Grass is still going to be there. I didn't check the security cameras at the beach every 5 minutes, but it was fine. But making it a cultural practice and talking yourself into the fact that it's better for the grass if you just leave helps.
Definitely. And I also think that, you know, something that can help is empowering the people that are using your facility, your parks, your golf course, whatever it is, to kind of help you along in the job. Like, make sure that, you know, they understand, you know, what you guys are doing behind the curtain so that they take some pride in what they're utilizing. Have you guys ever had any experience in kind of having to communicate, you know, what the role of a groundskeeper is so that you can have your users buy into the whole project at large?
In the construction renovation world, we work with a lot of cities and schools, mm-hmm. and as we're coaching them through their project, we're also coaching them how they're going to keep maintaining it. Yeah. So bringing in, you know, some of the players or some of the volunteer helpers, you know, parents and things like that.
Definitely. And I think, just having them buy into it can really help. And then, you know, use the free labor when you can. Get those players out there and be like, this is a part of practice.
Not free.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I think we could just end on, you know, what you guys see for 2022, what you're excited about, not only for women in turf, but just the industry as a whole. Anything that you've seen come out of this week or just in general? Putting you on the spot first, sorry.
Well, I think it's a great opportunity. I mean, we're getting into the new decade, and for me being working at Purdue, we're seeing a new generation of students coming in with, you know, some people are like, oh, they don't work. They do work. And you just have to help them. You want to let them grow. And there's optimism of that. And it's not just a year thing in 2022, but this is long term. We have to set a positive example for our coworkers and our bosses to say that we can do the same things as you guys can do. And we need to still keep doing that. But like we talked about early on, you know, you do have to set your boundaries and that. But I think it's going to be a pretty good year, I think, for us, and we'll see how it all happens.
We'll keep it up to make sure it is a good year.
Yeah.
Anyone else have something to add to that?
I'm just from this conference and seeing how many students are doing mm-hmm. it and seeing teachers like Drew Miller bringing in 200 high school students into a turf program in a Northern Virginia high school is incredibly exciting to look forward to, hopefully getting those kids as interns one day. Like, we all sat in that room, and I was just excited to see that there were young women, there's young men that are finally learning about it before they go to college and can make that decision or have to switch majors mid-college. These kids are already 4 years ahead of what I was at that age, so I'm super excited to see high school starting to incorporate things and kids getting really interested in it.
Definitely. And, you know, we'll definitely keep up with each of you guys on social media. Where can we find you guys all? You know, now you got to drop your hashtags now. But Morgan, I know we'll keep up with your first season as the head groundskeeper. That's really exciting. And, you know, Sun mentioned maybe opportunities to get involved in more events like the Trailblazers and Turfgrass and really just, you know, come in as a force. So thank you guys all for doing this. And hopefully we all make it home safely and happy. So thanks, guys.
Thank you. Thank you.